You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. I'd like you to stop by there, find the email link to email me, and when you do that, put my name, Nicholas, or Cross the Border in the subject line so I can sort it out from the rest of the emails. And comments, questions, challenges, insight that you'd like to share with the listeners, I'm happy to receive it all. So, crosstheborder.org. These days we're going through the book of Jeremiah. We've ended up in chapter 3, and we're about verse 6, so let's just jump right back in here. The Lord, Yahuwah, by name, said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Thou hast seen that which backsliding Israel hath done. Okay, I think we're a little further along than this. For yet, verse 10, and yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith Yahuwah. And the Lord said unto me, The backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahuwah, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Well, he is merciful. And could America repent? Yes, will America repent? Well, yes, there's time, there's room for repentance. I'm not like these doomsayers out here. I don't believe that Jesus is coming back next year or in 2012. I don't believe these are the absolute last days on planet Earth. I don't believe that the tribulation, the great tribulation, is going to happen sometime in my lifetime. It's unlikely that it will. What is more likely is that I'll live to a ripe old age, and I'll die, and my grandchildren, my children, my grandchildren, and my, well, yet unborn great-grandchildren will be living at that time, and things will go on. But the question is, what will be the state of the nation? Will people repent without great tribulation? Yes, we may have great tribulation. I'd say that there are people in Africa that have had great tribulation. People in Russia have had great tribulation. All over the world there has been great tribulation. But in America, well, the only great tribulation they think of is that fantasy 7-year period from the from Ribera or Alcazar, whichever one it was, with their fantasy left behind theories on eschatology. Now, America could use some great tribulation. We haven't had great tribulation yet. Maybe some people have on a personal level. But we have had no great national tribulation. If the greatest national tribulation America has had on its soil in recent history is 9-1-1, well, that's not great tribulation. On a national scale, that's light tribulation. Yes, it's a great tribulation for those people in that area where that disaster, where that attack took place. That was great tribulation for them, the people that lost their lives, lost their whatever losses they suffered. And I don't mean to diminish that any for them, because that was great tribulation. Now, if we had something like that on a national scale, then we would have great tribulation. If we had nationwide hunger and starvation, that would be great tribulation. 150 years ago, this America had great tribulation. It was called a civil war. And America lost its liberty and slipped into, well, a dictatorship of a sort, which, you know, the new president-elect is already openly talking about how he's going to use his dictatorial power called presidential directives or whatever they call them. These days, that the president makes commands and everybody does everything is according to his presidential directive. That all started with, Lincoln, when he decided to plunge the nation into civil war. And yes, it was all his own choice. He made the choice to do it, and he did it. Perhaps he was persuaded. He wasn't in it alone, of course, but he did do it. Changed the form of the nation. And when he repented or relented and wanted to go back to the way things were before the war, in other words, he wanted to unscramble the egg, well, those who wanted to keep the egg scrambled, who wanted the new form of government, of a fascist force over free, independent states, confederated, well, they killed him when he didn't want to go forward with the plan. At least that's the story I have, and I tend to believe it. Go and proclaim these words toward the North and say, return thou backsliding America. I just put in America there. Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith Yahuwah. But he also here, now this is a warning, I will not keep forever, and I will not keep anger forever. That means he's not going to hold back forever. He's holding back. Oh, that's what I see. Like I said, there's been no great tribulation in this land for 150 years, really, when you think about it. There's been a little tribulation here and there. And, that thing, this so-called financial crisis, that ain't a tribulation. That's part of the system that they've adopted in America. You know, you adopt a debt monetary system that goes against the laws of our Heavenly Father, and well, what do you think is going to happen? You think it's going to be stable? No way. Verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against Yahuwah thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Yeah, there it is. That's called repentance. You acknowledge your iniquity. You repent. Isn't that what the Master said when he preached, when he came upon the scene and he said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached? And he went about saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Acknowledge thine iniquity. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against me. You've scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree. That means you've adopted the sin of all of the strangers would be the wicked people throughout the earth. Whatever form of wickedness that anyone else in the world is practicing. Yeah, it's okay. We're going to do that. We're going to adopt that. And have not obeyed my voice. You said my commandments were nailed to the cross. We don't have to do that anymore. Once saved, always saved. We get to go up to the kingdom, but we ain't going to go in. We get to go in when we die. They suffer you not to enter because they don't go in themselves. And that's the message they preach. Say the magic words. The law is nailed to the cross and you get to go to heaven when you die. Pie in the sky when you die. That ain't the gospel. That's a different gospel. That's a false gospel. That is not the gospel that our Messiah preached. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. That's what Jeremiah, that's what the Heavenly Father is speaking here through the prophet Jeremiah. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. That means repent. That thou hast transgressed against me, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahuwah, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And of course, this is one of a city, two of a family. What does that refer to? Well, what he's really saying is that reality, there is going to be no national repentance. And in reality, I don't see any repentance in America that is going to affect the whole nation. The whole nation is going down. The great tribulation will come to this nation again. It's not going to be that fantasy where all of the Christians who have agreed that the law is nailed to the cross and they're going to go to heaven when they die are going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. Sorry, when the bad things happen, his people are going to be here. It may not touch us, and it may touch us. We may suffer for our faith. We may be persecuted and put to death for our faith, because the scripture says it may be so. It has happened in history, and it is bound to happen again. But we will be safe, because we have that assurance that this life is short. It's but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and we're looking for things eternal. We're looking for a home that will last forever. We're looking for the seed of our mortal flesh when it is planted in the ground. We're looking to rise from the dead, as did our Messiah, who showed us the way and gave us assurance. And he gives us assurance if we follow him. So turn, O backsliding children. Now he's speaking to us individually. For I am married unto you. Are you part of the bride of the Messiah, the bride of Christ? And I will take you, one of a city. Sounds like a remnant to me. Two of a family. Not everyone in the family. And what did Joshua, our Messiah, said? He said, I came to bring a sword. I came to bring division in families. They of their own household. Father against mother. Daughter against mother. Son against father. He was talking about the strife that would arise when people of faith rise up in families and rise up amongst unbelievers. And that's what Jeremiah is talking about here. Saying one of a city, two of a family. Sounds like those who turn to him, the backsliding children who will turn from their iniquity, those that will repent of their sins and learn obedience are going to be a minority. One of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart. Yeah, pastors after me who will teach you my words and my ways, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15. If you turn to him, he's going to give you pastors that are going to feed you with knowledge and understanding according to his heart. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith Yahuwah, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it. And of course, this is a reference to what it's going to be like after the resurrection of the dead, after the resurrection of the just. And we can go back to Daniel, and what is called the times, our Messiah referred to as the times of the Gentiles. And of course, as we discussed, the word Gentiles is the word nations translated. He said, Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot of the nations until the times of the nations be fulfilled. And I had a false prophet, one of these, I was listening to a program, someone sent me a link to it, one of these messianic fakers out there. The whole messianic movement. I'm sure there are some good and genuine people that are following that, but you'll find that a lot of the leaders in this movement are frauds. They pretend that they're Jews because they give this impression that to be a Jew is to be better than other people, that you're better if you're a Jew somehow. So they change their names to Hebrew-sounding names like Eliyahu, Ben Judah or Eliyahu, Ben David or whatever. And, you know, their former names are very American type names like, you know, Steve Butt or something like that, or Joe Smith. And then they change your name to a Hebrew sounding name when they don't know if they're honestly don't know if they're any more Jewish than I know I'm Jewish or my dog knows it's Jewish, but they got a revelation from God. And they found out that they were Jewish. So they took on a Jewish name and they started teaching Jewish stuff. And they call themselves Messianics because they're because now they're Jewish people who believe in Christ, and they get a following unto themselves. Well, they must know something that they can't know. And see, that's a problem. They get a revelation, a personal revelation from God. And I've had so-called personal revelations from the Spirit, but I don't teach them as doctrine. And I don't put much stock in them unless I can verify them by the Spirit, and I can find some witness in creation. I mean, unless I can verify them by the Word of God, because they say they have a spiritual revelation, so they have one witness, and that's the Spirit. But see, there's a great deception there, and we are so prone to be deceived, because the heart of man is continually deceitful and wicked. And we can't go by these personal revelations from the Spirit, no matter how good and how genuine they are. If the Spirit of God tells you you're a Jew, well, let me tell you what, you better find your genealogy in the Scripture as one witness, and perhaps you can find it as another witness in records in the flesh, which may be or may not be reliable, which mostly are unreliable, because show me a genealogy that someone has kept from the time of Christ. Where is it? And then that I, as an American with a name like John McDonald or Steve Smith or Joe Butt could say, well, you know, I got a revelation that I'm Jewish and I'm in that genealogy there. Oh boy, that's a leap, man. That's deceptive. That's something that you can't know. You're practicing dishonesty with yourself. And then to gather followers after yourself, one delusion leads to another, and the blind lead the blind. But it reminded me of this prophet, so-called, in the Messianic movement, whose assumed name is Eliyahu ben David. And I was listening to one of his programs because I thought, well, I'm going to listen to this guy and see what he's saying about the book of Revelation. And he said that the times of the Gentiles ended 8 years ago or sometime just in the recent history. Oh, yeah. Almost 40 years ago, because now we're coming up on a 40-year generation period since the times of the Gentiles ended. That's what he was saying. And then something or other, and I just thought, this guy has no clue what he's talking about. Because if the times of the Gentiles had ended, then the great mountain that comes out of the sky hit the image in the feet and obliterated it to dust. And it blew away like the chaff of the threshing floor, just like Daniel foretold. Well, that hasn't happened. The times of the Gentiles aren't over. Jerusalem is still trodden down of the nations. I still see the Dome of the Rock there. I still see the old city split in half. The temple is not built there. The times of the Gentiles aren't over. I see the kingdoms, the evil kingdoms of men, are completely filling the earth, and their wickedness is abounding more than ever. How could someone say that the times of the Gentiles is over? That the times of the nations is ended? Well, they could if they were deluded. They could say that. If they thought they were somebody they're not, and this whole thing about being a Jew, the Scripture plainly says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So it's no good to be a Jew. The genealogies were only necessary up to Christ to authenticate who he was, that he was the promised seed of the woman, that he was the Messiah. After that, the genealogies are worthless. That's the only purpose for the genealogies up to the Messiah. After that, it's over with. After that, the oracles of God went from Israel to the nations. That's why everything before Christ, the Old Testament, was written to the Hebrew people. They carried the oracles of God. They carried the Word of God. It came out of their mouths. It came out of their lips, and it was transmitted into their language, and they were the keepers of it. But after that, it went into the language of the nations. Why? Because the time appointed for thy people Israel, the 490 years, the 70 weeks appointed for thy people Israel. That's what Daniel was told. 70 weeks are appointed for thy people Israel. And after that 490-year period, the Heavenly Father was through with national Israel. It was over. And then the gospel went to the nations. And yes, it was carried to the nations by Hebrews. Mainly Hebrews, because they were instructed by the Messiah to leave before the destruction of Jerusalem and the terrible things that were coming on, that great tribulation that came upon Israel. They were warned to leave. So the posterity of the obedient, they left. They were not called Jews. Of course, no one was called a Jew up until the 1700s. The word didn't even exist. But now we have the so-called posterity of the disobedient who claim to be God's chosen people. Well, you know, Paul differs with them. He says there's no difference. He says, yes, they can be grafted back in as we are grafted into the root. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, we're going into the break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org, and I would like to hear from you. So go there and email me. Find that email link. We'll be back in a few minutes.